Today is the 8th day of June. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is a delight to be here with you today as we gather again around the global campfire. It's a special day of memory for me today. Today was my mom's birthday. And she has been gone for several years now. Both of my parents are. But when these days come around each year, certainly those of us who have lost somebody along the way, they come to mind. And so she is certainly on my mind today. I miss my mom very, 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 very much. I also believe she is very, very, very whole and very, very happy. And I'm glad that we are here and that we have gathered yet again to take the next step forward together each and every day as we continue to immerse ourselves in the story of the scriptures. And that will lead us back into the book that, well, we're kind of moving into books in Old and New Testaments, but we're in the book of 1 Kings now. We experienced the death of King David yesterday. His son Solomon is now on the throne in his place. Solomon's had a little bit of drama in the transition, but Solomon is now firmly established as the king of all Israel. And so now we turn our focus onto Solomon's reign as we move through 1 Kings. Today, chapter 3, verse 3 through 4, verse 34. Solomon showed his love for the Lord by walking according to the instructions given him by his father David, except that he offered sacrifices and burned incense on the high places. The king went to Gibeon to offer sacrifices, for that was the most important high place, and Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." Solomon answered, "You have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. Now, Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. But I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours?" The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, "Since you have asked for this, and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both wealth and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And if you walk in obedience to me and keep my decrees and commands as David your father did, I will give you a long life." Then Solomon awoke, and he realized it had been a dream. He returned to Jerusalem, stood before the Ark of the Lord's Covenant, and sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. Then he gave a feast for all his court. Now, two prostitutes came to the king and stood before him. One of them said, "Pardon me, my lord, this woman and I live in the same house, and I had a baby while she was there with me. The third day after my child was born, this woman also had a baby. We were alone, There was no one in the house but the two of us. During the night, this woman's son died because she lay on him. So she got up in the middle of the night and took my son from my side while I, your servant, was asleep. She put him by her breast and put her dead son by my breast. The next morning, I got up to nurse my son, and he was dead. But when I looked at him closely in the morning light, I saw that it wasn't the son I had born. The other woman said, "No, the living one is my son. The dead one is yours." But the first one insisted, "No, the dead one is yours. The living one is mine." So they argued before the king. The king said, "This one says, 'My son is alive and your son is dead.' Well, that one says, 'No, your son is dead and mine is alive.'" Then the king said, "Bring me a sword." So they brought a sword for the king. He then gave an order. "Cut the living child in two and give half to one and half to the other." The woman whose son was alive was deeply moved out of love for her son and said to the king, "Please, my lord, give her the living baby. Don't kill him." But the other said, "Neither I nor you shall have him. Cut him in two." Then the king gave his ruling. "Give the living baby to the first woman. Do not kill him. She is his mother." When all Israel heard the verdict the king had given, they held the king in awe because they saw that he had wisdom from God to administer justice. So King Solomon ruled over all Israel. And these were his chief officials: Azariah, son of Zadok, the priest; Elihoref and Ahijah, sons of Shisha, secretaries; Jehoshaphat, son of Ahilud, recorder; Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, commander-in-chief; Zadok and Abiathar, priests; Azariah, son of Nathan, in charge of the district governors; Zabud, son of Nathan, a priest and advisor to the king; Ahishar, palace administrator; Adoniram, son of Adba, in charge of forced labor. Solomon had 12 district governors over all Israel who supplied provisions for the king and the royal household. Each one had to provide supplies for 1 month in the year. These are their names: Ben-Hur, in the hill country of Ephraim; Ben-Dekur, in Mekaz, Shealbim, Bet-Shemesh, and Elon, Bet-Anan; Ben-Hesed, and Arubot; Sukkot, and all the land of Hefer were his; Ben-Abinadab, in Naphoth-Dor. He was married to Tephath, daughter of Solomon; Baana, son of Ahilud, in Taanach and Megiddo, and in all of Beth-Shan next to Zaratan below Jezreel, from Beth-Shan to Abel-Meholah, across to Jokneam; Ben-Geber, in Ramoth-Gilead. The settlements of Jair, son of Manasseh, in Gilead were his, as well as the region of Argob and Bashan and its 60 large walled cities with bronze gate bars; Ahinadab, son of Iddo, in Mahanaim; Ahimaaz in Naphtali. He had married Basemath, daughter of Solomon; Baana, son of Hushai, in Asher and in Elot; Jehoshaphat, son of Parua, in Issachar; Shimei, son of Elah, in Benjamin; Geber, son of Uri, in Gilead, the country of Sion, king of the Amorites, and the country of Og, king of Bashan. He was the only governor over the district. The people of Judah and Israel were as numerous as the sand on the seashore. They ate, they drank, and they were happy. And Solomon ruled over all the kingdoms from the Euphrates River to the land of the Philistines, as far as the border of Egypt. These countries brought tribute and were Solomon's subjects all his life. Solomon's daily provisions were 30 cores of the finest flour and 60 cores of meal, 10 head of stall-fed cattle, 20 of pasture-fed cattle, and 100 sheep and goats, as well as deer, gazelles, roebucks, and choice fowl, for he ruled over all the kingdoms west of the Euphrates River, from Tifsa to Gaza, and had peace on all sides. During Solomon's lifetime, Judah and Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, lived in safety, everyone under their own vine and under their own fig tree. Solomon had 4,000 stalls for chariot horses and 12,000 horses. The district governors, each in his month, supplied provisions for King Solomon and all who came to the king's table. They saw to it that nothing was lacking. They also brought to the proper place their quotas of barley and straw for the chariot horses and the other horses. God gave Solomon wisdom and very great insight and a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sand on the seashore. Solomon's wisdom was greater than the wisdom of all the people of the East and greater than all the wisdom of Egypt. He was wiser than anyone else, including Ethan the Ezrahite, wiser than Heman, Chalcol, and Darda, the sons of Mahol, and his fame spread to all the surrounding nations. He spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs numbered 1,005. He spoke about plant life, from the cedar of Lebanon to the hyssop that grows out of walls. He also spoke about animals and birds, reptiles and fish. From all nations, people came to listen to Solomon's wisdom, sent by all the kings of the world who had heard of his wisdom. Acts 6. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word." This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed great wonders and signs among the people. Opposition arose, however, from the members of the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, Jews of Cyrene and Alexandria, as well as the provinces of Cilicia and Asia, who began to argue with Stephen. But they could not stand up against the wisdom the Spirit gave him as he spoke. Then they secretly persuaded some men to say, "We have heard Stephen speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." So they stirred up the people and the elders and the teachers of the law. They seized Stephen and brought him before the Sanhedrin. They produced false witnesses who testified, "This fellow never stopped speaking against this holy place and against the law, for we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs Moses handed down to us." All who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen, and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. Psalm 126, A Song of Ascents. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Restore our fortunes, Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. Proverbs 16, 26 and 27. The appetite of laborers works for them. Their hunger drives them on. A scoundrel plots evil, and on their lips it is like a scorching fire. Okay, so in 1 Kings today, Solomon has consolidated his power. He is in firm control of the kingdom of Israel. He is on his, the throne of his father, David. And things are beginning to prosper. And Solomon does something that is certainly famous. But he does something that is certainly necessary. He goes before the Lord and certainly offers sacrifices, but prays to God, puts himself before the Lord, sits before the Lord, opens himself before the Lord. And the Lord comes to him and says, ask anything. What do you request? And that's when we see the character of Solomon beginning to rise and emerge, because he can ask for anything, that his enemies be destroyed, that he live twice as long as anybody else, that his people are at peace and prosperous, anything that he wants to ask. And he asks for wisdom and discernment. He confesses before the Lord that he knows where he's at, that he is the king of Israel sitting on the throne of his father. So he gets it. He gets where his position is. But he also sees his own deficits and inadequacies to do this job. It's too big for him. It's bigger than he is. It's bigger than anyone can be. And so he asks God to help him administer justice, to have wisdom as he stewards the people of God. And God tells Solomon that because this is what he seeks, that he will have that, and he will have all of the things that he could have named that he didn't name. So this is certainly a beautiful picture. If we want to apply this to our lives, we all have stewardship over something. Maybe the only thing we're stewarding right now is our sock drawer, or maybe we are stewarding human beings in the form of our children, or maybe we lead an organization or a department, and there are hundreds of people that we are responsible for, at least for their output and work. So in one way or another, we have stewardship at a certain level in our lives, and we spend a lot of our lives trying to figure out how to make it work. When this example from Solomon is maybe the right example, understanding that life is too big for us to manage, and life is moving too fast for anybody to manage, and maybe what we actually need is a discerning heart full of wisdom, so that we are able to differentiate between the things that are just going to take life from us and take an enormous amount of energy, things that we don't even belong spending time on, so that we're focusing on the things that we're stewarding. Then we move into the book of Acts today, and we see the furtherance of the emerging church in the first century around Jerusalem, as people are flocking to this message of Jesus. And people are being cared for in certain ways, and that's causing some conflict. We have these Hellenistic Jews, Jews of like Greek origin, and then we have these Hebraic Jews who consider themselves ethnically more true to what a Jew is. And it seems that the widows are being cared for in different ways. So, lest we read the book of Acts as this glorious moment, it is a glorious moment. It wasn't a perfect moment. People were involved, and so it's an imperfect moment. And so we see these things beginning to crop up in the early church where people have to sort of figure out and discern and understand like the way forward. And that leads us to what we now know as the diaconate, as deacons. This is where we get this, deacons. Helpers were appointed today to distribute food and to care for the people so that the apostles could focus their attention on hearing from the Holy Spirit and being out sharing the good news. And so we see helpers coming in that are appointed to serve God's people. And we met somebody today that was one of those appointees named Stephen. We're going to have a minute with Stephen over these next couple of days. So he is doing what he was appointed to do. He is full of the Holy Spirit. He is well respected. These things we get from the book of Acts. But he does engage in these kind of theological sparring matches with other people, and a plot is hatched against Stephen to drag him before the high council because of the things that he is saying. So basically where we sit at the moment is that this new appointed helper, Stephen, who is a good, devout person, is being accused of grievous things like blasphemy. And we haven't gotten to hear Stephen defend himself. That's where we're going. Stephen is going to have an opportunity to say his piece. And that's an important piece for us at this point in the New Testament. Because what Stephen has to do is convince the council that he truly is Hebrew, that he truly does understand the Hebrew story and the Hebrew context, and that this Jesus is part of that Hebrew context. And so as he shares his testimony, we will be reviewing in pretty fast motion all of the stories that we have been working our way through since the beginning of the year. And so that testimony is coming up before us here in the next couple of days. And so, Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you that we have the opportunity to have your word freely and to pour over it and to allow it to speak into our lives. And we thank you for the global campfire. We thank you that you have allowed us to live at a time on the earth where we can gather together no matter where we are geographically and center ourselves in the scriptures, allowing them to speak the world over and fall into our lives and transform us so that we might reveal your kingdom wherever we may be. And so come, Holy Spirit, implant what we've read into our lives, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com, that is home base. That is where you find out what's going on around here. And so check that out. The Daily Audio Bible app puts that in the palm of your hand. And you can find the app free. Just search for Daily Audio Bible at the app store that works with your device. And I was mentioning yesterday, and I'll mention it while we have supplies. It is baseball season. It is ball cap season. And so we have these awesome Daily Audio Bible ball caps with these genuine leather imprint stamps on them with the Daily Audio Bible logo on them. And we put them on sale. This is the season. And so at the Daily Audio Bible shop in the lifestyle section, you can find these. There are a couple of different varieties. Couple of different options, including the special edition one that we have right now, which has got like a camo version with the leather patch on the front. It looks really sharp. Those will not last outside of this month. This will be the last month for the camo hats. They probably won't last through this month, but they won't last beyond this month. So those are available right now, like a spring sale. So check them out while we have them. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if you find that the mission to bring the spoken word of God read fresh every day, and that we come together as a community and allow that to speak into our lives, if that is life-giving to you, then thank you deeply for your partnership as we move through the summer. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, there are a number of ways. You can hit the hotline button in the app. That's the little red button up at the top. Or there are a number of numbers. In the Americas, 877-942-4253 is the number to call. If you are in the UK or Europe, 44-2036-088-078 is the number to dial. And if you are in Australia or that part of the world, 613-8820-5459 is the number to call. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
I don't know why I'm so scared to call and ask for prayer. My name is Christina, and I'm from Oregon, and I've been listening to the Daily Audio Bible for about a year now, off and on, but since the beginning of the year consistently. And I have been drinking alcohol every day for so long I can't even count, and smoking pot every day. And off and on since I was 15, smoking cigarettes. And I started all these bad habits when I was about 15. And I'm 52. Got a lot going on in my life, but I really feel God wants me to stop. I don't know. I know that He loves me. I'm really, really learning about His love for me and who I am in Christ. And that's why I think it's the right time. And through prayer, my friend and I got the day June 1st. And as you know, today's June 2nd. And I'm struggling, and I don't know why, because I know life is better on the other side. I know that God has amazing things for me, but I'm stuck. I've been stuck for so long. I stupidly call myself a functioning alcoholic because I don't drink to oblivion, but I do drink every evening, sometimes early evening, and I just ask for prayer, for wisdom and guidance and strength and just support. Thank you so much.
Hello, DAB family. This is Suzanne in Raleigh. I'm a relatively new listener and first-time caller. Let me first say that what a blessing you all have been to me already. I love hearing your voices from all over the country and even all over the world. It's so exciting to know I have brothers and sisters in so many places. What a beautiful picture of the body of Christ. I had to call after hearing God's Life speaker on June the 1st. She talked about having a child who struggles and waiting for that call that she hopes she never receives. I've been where she is now, and unfortunately, I did receive that call last June the 19th, letting me know that my son Ryan had passed away. My testimony is that God is in this with you, even in the ugly, messy parts, and He will never leave you. Keep your eyes on Jesus. You know He is good and that you can trust Him. June 2nd was Worldwide Day of Prayer for Prodigals. These children may struggle with addictions, incarcerations, mental illnesses, or thoughts of suicide. Let's pray for them. Father, I come before you now lifting up the DAB parents who have prodigal children. I pray that you give them wisdom and discernment. I pray that you make your presence known to them on this very fragile and often lonely journey. I pray you send supportive people into their lives, and finally that you give them rest. And Lord, I pray for their children. You know who they are, and you know about their struggles. I ask that you draw them near to yourself, protect them from bad choices, surround them with believers who can speak into their lives. I pray for miraculous healings and for restorations of families. I thank you and praise you for what you are doing now and will continue to do on our behalf. We love you, and we pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Hey, beautiful dabbers. It's Asia from the City of Angels. I wanted to share something with you. I had recently been praying in the Spirit, asking the Lord to really use me to put people on my path that I could show the love of Jesus to, and also witness to and share the gospel message with. And just really soon after that, I was somewhere, and I came across a woman who was seemingly unhoused, homeless. She looked like she was carrying a baby, and she was waving at me to come over to me. And I asked her, you know, how she was doing and if that was her child. And she proceeded to tell me that she had had a stillborn baby and that she just couldn't let it go. And so she had it swaddled and was carrying it around. And, you know, I immediately asked her if she knew the Lord, and she said yes, she believes in Jesus. And I asked her if I could pray with her, and I started praying with her. And of course she was crying, she was really emotional. And afterwards I was able to take some wipes and really wipe off her face, wipe off her tears, the dirt stained face, some old makeup, and even wipe those tears that had fallen on the head of her child. And I say this, I'm sharing this because I believe that sometimes we're put in these situations where we could really turn away, but this woman needed to be heard. She needed someone to help her. And Jesus put her on my path that day, and I didn't turn around and deny her his love. And I just want to share that because we can show his
love. Hello, DAB family. This is Diana from Florida, and I want to pray for Heartbroken. I believe you said you were from California, whom has a roommate named Alice. And there's a bit of a riff because her husband, not Alice's husband, but rather Heartbroken's husband, wants Alice out. But Alice isn't ready to leave. And even though she's been given ample time to make preparations, she has asked for extensions. And Heartbroken feels like she's caught in the middle. Dear God, I pray your divine wisdom upon Heartbroken right now in Jesus' name. I pray in the name of Jesus that you would guide her in the way that she ought to operate in this situation. Lord, we don't know all the details. We don't know why Alice has been a roommate to begin with in this household. We don't really know what happened or even why her son is estranged from her. But Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus that there would be aid that comes her way so that she's able to find a new home, and that this situation would not cause a rift between Heartbroken and her husband, but rather that there would be unity and prayer between the two of them to figure out how they can best help Alice move along. Lord God, I pray your mercy through this whole situation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, family. It's Sunday, June 4th. I hope you're all having a blessed Sunday. I'd like to request prayer for my family. My niece is getting married next Saturday, June 10th. She and her fiancé want a day that honors the Lord and is filled with joy and fun. Please pray for this, as well as for my family itself. There is a lot of relational healing that needs to take place. One marriage is hanging on by a thread, and one person has walked away from the Lord completely. Because we live in different states, we're not all together very often, so I pray that we'll be able to take joy in one another. Please also pray for those traveling. For me, the airline has drastically changed my flight, and that could make getting my rental car and hotel a challenge. I know that with other things going on, this is kind of a light request, but to see healing and restoration in my family would be major. Thank you so much. Love you all. Bye.